and welcome. Today, we're diving into a topic that can often feel like a tangled web, but is absolutely crucial for anyone managing their finances. It's the difference between active and passive income when it comes to taxes. If you've ever found yourself staring at a tax form, scratching your head, and wondering how different income types affect your tax bill, you're not alone. I'm here to help you untangle this web and make things crystal clear, especially as we look ahead to 2025. So let's start by laying the groundwork. What exactly are active and passive incomes? This distinction is the foundation of smart tax planning. Active income is what you earn from your job or business activities where you're directly involved. This includes your salary, wages, any tips you get, bonuses, commissions, and income from a business where you're hands-on. The IRS has specific tests to define what counts as material participation in these activities, like spending over 500 hours a year working on them. On the flip side, passive income typically comes from investments like rental properties, royalties, stock dividends you're not actively trading, or being a limited partner in a business where you don't have control. Here's a fun fact. Some business profits might be classified as passive if you're not materially involved. Imagine you're a silent partner in a restaurant. You share profits, but if you're not managing daily operations, that's passive income. Understanding this distinction is crucial because active and passive incomes are often taxed under different rules and rates, which can have a big impact on your overall tax strategy. This can affect everything from which deductions you can claim to how you handle losses. So being clear on what type of income you're dealing with can save you a lot of stress and money. Now, let's talk tax rates, because it's not one size fits all. Active income, for example, is taxed at your standard federal income tax rate. In 2025, we still have 7 progressive tax brackets, ranging from 10% to 37%. The exact rate you'd pay depends on your income level. For instance, if you're a single filer making over $609,350, you're looking at the top rate of 37%. But here's where it gets interesting. Passive income can have its own set of tax rules that might work in your favor. Qualified dividends and long-term capital gains from assets held over a year usually enjoy lower rates, like 0%, 15%, or 20%, based on your taxable income. For example, if your taxable income is up to $47,025 as a single filer, you could benefit from a 0% rate in 2025. High-income earners should also be aware of the net investment income tax, or NIIT. It's an additional 3.8% in certain passive incomes for those with a modified adjusted gross income over $200,000, or $250,000 for married couples filing jointly. This can apply to dividends, capital gains, rental income, and royalties, adding another layer to consider when planning your taxes. Moving on to deductions, which can be your best friend during tax season. The trick is knowing which deductions apply to which types of income and how to maximize their benefits. With active income, look into work-related expenses, limited though they are post the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, as well as self-employment deductions like the home office deduction or business equipment purchases. For passive income, especially with rental properties, the deduction opportunities can be significant. Think about expenses related to property maintenance, repairs, property management fees, insurance, property taxes, mortgage interest, and depreciation. Depreciation alone can offer substantial tax benefits by letting you deduct the cost of rental property over 27.5 years, even if the property's value is appreciating. For the year 2025, the standard deduction has gone up due to inflation. $15,000 for single filers and $30,000 for married couples filing jointly. Many will find this increase beneficial compared to itemizing. But if itemizing works better for you, consider deductions for state and local taxes, mortgage interest, charitable contributions, and medical expenses that exceed 7.5% of your adjusted gross income. Timing expenses like charitable contributions to maximize your deductions in one tax year could also be a smart move. And of course, we can't forget about the unsung hero of tax compliance. Keeping detailed records. It's one thing to know what deductions you're entitled to, but without proper documentation, you could face issues if you're ever audited. Whether it's receipts for business expenses or documentation for rental property repairs, having everything organized can make life so much easier. The IRS recommends keeping these records for at least 3 years from the date you file your return, but it might be wise to hang on to them longer in certain situations. Modern technology can really help here. Apps like Receipt Bank or Expensify make it easy to capture and organize receipts as you go. It's amazing how much hassle you can save yourself by staying organized throughout the year. Remember, in case of an audit, the burden of proof is on you, not the IRS. Keeping good records can be the key to a smooth tax filing process. So there you have it, a deep dive into active versus passive income and their tax implications, especially as we look towards 2025. Understanding these distinctions can not only help you reduce your tax liability, but also empower you to make smarter financial decisions. I hope this discussion has demystified some of the complexities and given you a clearer path through the tax maze. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to our next conversation. Until then, happy planning.